We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me, as always, over there in Chicagoland on this regal occasion.
Regal?
The one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm great. I miss having a live audience for this show. I'm not going to lie.
You know,
the bras being thrown at the stage, you drunkenly needing to be revived with smelling salts backstage.
Yep.
There's a certain character, there's a certain texture to the live fantasy things experience. That's what they say, by the way, in Barcelona, fantasy right. things. That it can't be replicated anymore. Now that we've gone in that direction, did we even do fantasy things last year? I don't think we did.
We were crestfallen last year, Dan.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to do.
Well, I mean, the season was starting at different points for different conferences, so it wasn't clear when we should actually do it. So we decided to take a bye year. So happy to be back with the theme, but sad that we are not doing it in a theater with Verballers stacked up to the rafters.
It is sad, but we are going to go on with this show because the fantasy yeah. things, I think, without question, one of our favorites that we do every year. I know it's a crowd favorite, obviously, for the last couple seasons, not last year, but 2019, 2018, 2017. This is a thing that we did live. So we will explain what fantasy things means momentarily in case you are new to the program. If you are, welcome in. I'm Ty. He is Dan. This is the Solid Verbal College Football Podcast. We have been going 3 times a week now for the last couple weeks. Go back and listen to all of our conference previews. We've done all of the Power Five, all of the Group of Five, all yep. of the independents with the lone exception of UConn. But we decided, I think, as a group that that's okay.
We should have, in retrospect, disrespectfully previewed like the 2003 UConn women's basketball team or whichever was like the greatest, considered to be the best. Like,
right.
We should have like very like we should have done a deep dive on Diana Taurasi's perimeter game.
Right.
Where we could have celebrated UConn excellence instead of wallowed in the depths.
In lieu of a 2021 UConn preview. We're yeah. going to spend 5 good minutes talking about Jordan Todman now. Ready, set, go.
Yeah, 5 good minutes about Jordan Todman. Sure, Dan Orlovsky can get into the conversation. Anybody you want.
Also, going out to verballers.com. Verballers.com is our Patreon. In addition to those 3 shows that yes. we're doing per week, we do offer some bonus content as well. Early access to all of the shows that I just mentioned. Certainly, as we get into the season, you can get preview shows, you can get recap shows, you can get everything a little bit earlier than the general public. Verballers.com. You will also get access to a special thing that we are working on, which we are not ready to take the bubble wrap off of quite yet. It will be available only to our Patreon subscribers. As we said on the last program, you will have access to a prize, potentially, if you do well enough, that we are utterly certain has never been offered before.
Oh, we're so silly.
Verballers.com, though. Verballers.com, Verballers.com. We'll get you access to that. More information on that to come. All right, Dan, here we go. Fantasy things. Explain for the fine folks out there who, you know, maybe their mind is a little bit stale. They've listened to us for a while, but they didn't hear the Fantasy Things show a year ago. What is it? How did it come to fruition? If you're new to the show, what the hell is a fantasy thing? Give us the backdrop here for what the Fantasy Things draft all entails.
We draft narratives. We draft storylines. We draft occurrences. We build teams out of narrative storylines and occurrences, tropes, anything that sort of can be repeatable throughout the season that isn't just a player performing, which is what we're used to as fantasy sports, that we're drafting players, and the better the players that we draft do, the better our individual team does. No, it is, for example, some of our favorite things over the years is so-and-so has a little bit of Baker Mayfield in them. What does it mean? Unclear. A little bit. There's some Baker Mayfield to him. There's a little Baker Mayfield. I see some Baker Mayfield in this game. A little bit of Baker Mayfield. Right. The backup is better than the starter. The new defensive coordinator plans on bringing an attacking aggressive mentality, an attacking aggressive defense to the team. Strength
always,
coach.
Always.
New strength coach doesn't know what they were doing here before. But this is the big leagues now. They're in for a rude awakening.
The band playing Old Town Road. All of these things, right? These commonalities.
Dean Blandino is wrong about a call he's weighing in on. We like Dean Blandino. So, yeah, the things that are under the radar, funny or weird, that makes college football what it is, because it keeps happening in weird ways. Like, you're big on weather. So, like, a lightning delay. You love a good lightning delay because then it gets us some radar information.
The monsoon game, right?
Yeah. I think I have down here, and I don't know if we're going to draft it, but, like, an example from this year is when a game is going to overtime and the next game has to be shifted to Fox Business. And we're like, wait, I have no idea what Fox Business is on this cable lineup.
This game
lineup.
Will be on CNBC.
This game is on CNBC. This game is on True TV, as is the case with the NCAA tournament. So, like, weird stuff that does happen during the season. Doesn't always happen, but gives us an excuse to celebrate the idiosyncrasies of the sport.
Idiosyncrasies, I think, is the name of the game here.
And at this point, I don't even think we're trying to win.
No.
I just think we're trying to dig further than the other person, dig farther into the muck that is the college football season to come up with the weirdest possible roster.
We've tried a couple different ways of keeping score. The first year, we just hashed it out. You and I, we got in a room one January. The only feedback I got in response to that show, how you bullied me, you pushed me around. You didn't really win by that much, but it made it worse.
I'm a competitive person. I don't know what to tell you, Ty.
We tried to argue it out, and that didn't really work as well for me. We tried on a couple separate occasions to actually keep track on a week-to-week basis, and that just got laborious. That was ridiculous. We're now at the point now where we're just going to throw out some things that we're looking forward to seeing this coming year.
We can literally we can post our rosters on Twitter and conduct a poll. Whose team seems more fun and weird?
Exactly. So what we're going to do, we have a long list here. It's 2 pages. It's single spaced. It's a big old Google Doc in traditional solid verbal fashion. We're going to go through and follow the template that we did live. Each of us is going to pick 6 items. Count them, 6 items for our teams. Mm-hmm. As we are ready to give our selections, you will hear that ESPN draft sound that I stole from some website on the internet to signify that a selection is incoming. And then we are going to make our picks. Fill out our teams. It is a snake draft.
That makes sense.
How should we decide who goes first? I will flip here. I have a camera lens I'm showing to
flip
the
it.
Camera for people who are watching on the Patreon.
I'll take Sony side up.
Sony side up?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
That's how I like my eggs.
Sony side up it is. You get selection.
I will take the number 2 and number 3.
You want the bookend picks.
Yes.
Alrighty. That means your boy's up first, Dan. Are you ready for this? I put on a collared shirt. I'm excited.
Oh, I didn't. I have a t-shirt with ping pong paddles on it. They have faces, though. They're happy ping pong paddles. Well, one of them is.
With my first selection in the 2021 Solid Verbal Fantasy Things Draft.
Yes, sir.
I would like to select weird COVID training rituals, Dan.
Not as relevant this year. You're talking about training at a park, in a garage, something like that.
I feel like this is going to be something that all the studio shows, that all of the broadcasts, that they lean a little heavier on.
They were in fall camp, though.
Counterpoint, a game is 38-3, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The announcers still need something to talk about. Let's talk about a kid pushing a tire uphill. You know it's coming.
Sure.
This is what we call announcer porn, Dan. Says here, Michael baled hay to maintain his upper body strength. Come on. You know they love this stuff.
Weird COVID train. Did you do any weird COVID training rituals? Did you alter your workouts?
No, I haven't done any training rituals.
I haven't been to a gym in a year and a half.
No.
If that counts. I used to go to a gym in Brooklyn. And now I just get yoked at home and go for runs and play tennis. So I guess I've altered my training rituals. I don't think it's going to be all that different. I mean, than normal times for these guys. The weight rooms were open.
It's a risky play, but
it definitely is.
I am not convinced that the college football media landscape is over COVID the way much of the country seems to be. So any little shred of goofiness in a training ritual, I expect to hear that on a broadcast come Saturday.
Okay. I have two picks now, correct?
You do.
All right, the pick is in. Pick number two. I'm going to go with weird, goofy, curious, all of the sudden, NIL endorsement.
Oh, that's a good one. That was my next pick.
I'm going to go with a kicker who just demolishes a 60-yarder to upset a ranked team. And gets an endorsement from Dr. Scholes. You know, something that just like, because Dr. Scholes has that sweet cage tie. I'm going with that impromptu, out of left field. It doesn't have to be impromptu. It could just be somebody who becomes a star and all of a sudden is more attractive to brands. But then the deal that they sign is with somebody odd. I'm going to definitely foresee somebody signing a deal that school's compliance department or the NCAA is going to say, no, I don't know if you can do that.
They don't know what you can and can't do.
I don't know if you can endorse a casino in Macau. I don't know that's going to fly. So I'm going to go with something. I mean, I know this is vague because I use a lot of adjectives. So I will say either you said exceedingly curious, and I think that's a good fit. So something that happens all of a sudden, or something that, you know, there's like a shady brand or somebody signs the deal, but then they have to walk it back. I'm going with that, with NIL weirdness. And by the way, there's another element, another couple elements that I'm not taking. This is not a blanket NIL, but yeah, exceedingly curious name, image, likeness, endorsement, sponsorship opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, Dan. It is such of a wild west right now, mm-hmm. as it relates to player endorsements, right?
Yeah.
There will be things that happen throughout the course of the season. We must have half a dozen, if not more, NIL related items mm-hmm. on our shared idea bank here. Any number of different directions you could go with this. So I like it. I actually tweeted out shortly before we hit record today, the old commercial from Major League One. When they were just taking on whatever endorsements they could get. I'm hoping we get awkward commercials like that
mm-hmm.
as we move forward now into this NIL era.
I'm very hopeful that somebody endorses something. And maybe it's an FCS player. Maybe there's just somebody that's clearly just going to be a one-week wonder who's like, looking to get taller? Take these silver pills. this is not advisable. I'm excited for that.
All right, you're on the clock.
All right, pick number two for me. I'm going to go with something very specific here. I'm going to go with coach gets caught doing something in the booth. Possibly picking their nose, picking their ears, choking on iced tea. There, it's a very specific thing that might happen once all year long. But when it does, I treasure it. I absolutely treasure when a coach is, their glasses are all fogged up. There's something weird happening to a coach in the booth. I love it. I just do. I don't know why I'm picking it this highly, but I love it and I wanted it on my team.
Initially, we jotted down coach gets caught picking nose.
Right.
On the broadcast. So now we're expanding that to gets caught doing something.
So a coach caught being a human being in the booth. So anything beyond looking at his play sheet, calling in a play, or talking to another coach in the booth. Like if there's just a coach housing a chili dog in the booth, that counts. That absolutely counts. Any coach doing something relatably human. I'm not saying picking the nose and eating your boogers is relatable, but I will take it.
I don't think this happens all that much.
It doesn't happen all that much.
You just want it. In case it happens,
I am going to be laser focused. I'm going to be laser focused on coaches doing fun, weird things in the booth.
Does it count when they hit a big play and they sort of erupt in celebration with high fives?
No. That's a coaching thing to do. No, that doesn't count.
Okay, so we're talking just a normal human type of thing.
Yeah, something that would make that coach's wife say, you know, I really wish the camera weren't on him on that moment. I really wish this weren't captured in 1080p.
I'm on the clock.
Yep.
My second pick in the Fantasy Things draft. Dan, it's great to have the fans back.
Is that the thing?
It is so great to have the fans back. How many times do you think we're going to hear that throughout the course of the season?
Many.
Great to have the fans back. Great to have the fans back. With my second pick, I select It's Great to Have the Fans Back. I fully expect that we're going to hear this at every studio show before the start of every broadcast, probably three times during said broadcasts throughout the course of the college football season, at least for the first month, month and a half or so. How great is it to have the fans back? It certainly adds something to the TV product. That was one thing we talked about ad nauseum last season. It was just not the same. We don't have the crowd there. There's not the same environment. It's different. It's hollow. They're pumping in other sounds. It's weird.
Right.
It's great to have the fans back.
Do you think there will be goofs with teams that are not playing well, that have empty swaths of their stadium, that there will be cracks? Like, they know that you can come back now, right? No, Vanderbilt fans can come back. No? Stanford fans, they should know. They're allowed in the stadium.
They never left. They just never came, period.
Yeah, they never came. Yeah. Okay. I think that's good.
Great to have the fans back.
Great to have them back.
My next pick. Are you familiar with the term year zero, Dan?
I am familiar, yeah.
Year zero, 2020. Every preview publication that I looked at, talking about guys like Mel Tucker, right? First year guys. Who else? Dave Aranda. Year zero. Year zero. I don't know who came up with year zero. Maybe it's like a week zero. Who knows? Whoever came up with it got a lot of run out of it.
Probably Bill Connolly, if I had to guess. Yeah.
Here we are. As we move forward into 2021, there were a slew of new coaches last year. And many of them, unfortunately, Jeff Hafley, your boy, the Half.
Yeah, Nick Rolovich.
These guys, they had to install everything via Zoom, which is not optimal.
Right.
We've said as much, they've said as much. And so what's happened now, I guess as a means of giving some of these guys a mulligan, in some cases deservingly so, we've coined the term year zero. Not year one, because year one wasn't really not a fully formed year.
Mm-hmm.
It was year zero.
You can't count what happened last year. Come on, that didn't count.
It's not even a year zero.
Right.
Extended training camp. I fully expect that we're going to hear a ton of year zero.
But probably early on in the season, maybe not so much, you know, mid-October onward, right? Because we're already sort of ensconced in the season.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I want to get my points early. Let's get them on the board. Let's not leave much to chance late. That's why we're going with weird COVID training. That's why we're going with great to have the fans back. There is a point at which this could all fall apart.
Sure.
Trying to get my points early. Let's get in the clubhouse. Let's make you play catch up.
All right. Is it time for my picks?
It is time for your picks.
Oh, man. All right. I have one, Ty.
What do we got?
I have an especially strange animated explainer. An especially strange. And now, does it have to be TV animation? I guess so. If it's an animated explainer, ESPN has really dipped into the, like, remember when all of a sudden there was like a Korean animation firm that anytime anything relatively controversial would happen,
I'm choking.
In would swoop the Korean animation of like Lindsay Lohan getting in a car accident, right? And so, for whatever reason, ESPN has adopted that way of showcasing football things. And it's every year it gets weirder. And like, I don't know why it exists, but it keeps existing. There was the one year, remember when the game day hosts put on the weird skin masks of coaches of teams that were playoff in the range of the playoff, and there was like a Gary Patterson mask and a Chip Kelly mask and a Les Miles mask, and they were all sort of making cases for why their team was playoff worthy, but they were talking behind the mask. So you have like David Pollock wearing an Art Briles mask saying, just look at our offense. Just look at our offense. We can have it with anybody. It's just, I appreciate going for it. I do. But I'm going to take that weird animation thing, because ESPN is just getting stranger and stranger with the, I mean, I've talked about their awful belt of a scoreboard, their graphics package. So I have no doubt they're just leaning into this to get the attention of weirdos like ourselves. So yeah, one weird animated graphics and explainers that I feel as if there was something with like NFL teams, like the mascots represented with animation. Like, it's just, I love it and I hate it all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, we've now entered the stage of broadcast media.
Mm-hmm.
Where most of the tricks have been tried, you know? Not a whole lot out there. There's always room for innovation to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like wherever the creative energy goes, it's not always aligned with where you and I think it should go.
Right.
Case in point, the score belt, as you've called it.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the screen. CBS is doing the thing with the 4K cameras now. That weird, like, super zoomed in view. They've got the camera on the field and they're going to follow a guy's face as he walks into the locker room. They do that thing now a lot. And I don't, mm-hmm. I don't know why, but they just find ways to do it. And I think that furthers the point of the weird animated explainer. It's just a thing that they do because they can, and mm-hmm. not really because anybody wants it.
Again, somebody is spending all week working on Here's the TCU team, but all of their heads are frogs. They all have frog eyes. Get it? Because they're the... What? Why? Why? I love it. Yeah. So is that my first pick or my second pick?
That was your first pick. What's your next pick?
I'm going to go with failed hurdles. I'm going to tell you why. To
failed
me...
Failed hurdles.
A failed hurdle... Because you're literally laying your nuts on the line.
Sure. Of course.
When you go to hurdle somebody and it doesn't work and you take a helmet to the crotch, I laugh. I do laugh. I got to be real with you, Ty. I appreciate the effort, but I've seen enough failed hurdles. Now, a real hurdle is obviously superior to a failed hurdle or a successful hurdle. I'm going to go with that failed hurdle. I love it so much because all of a sudden it's a wrestling move gone wrong or gone extremely right. And I love it every time. I love a failed hurdle.
A failed hurdle, Dan.
Yeah.
Hmm.
A failed hurdle.
I would think you would go for a successful hurdle.
You would think. You would think.
I mean, because those are cool. Those are fun to watch.
I know, but there's something about somebody overestimating their vertical, overestimating the reaction time of the defender, and you get planted, right? Yeah. You get absolutely planted when you fail to hurdle somebody.
Well, you know, best case scenario is Saquon Barkley, and I think Saquon
sure
almost popularized the move.
Yeah, Reggie Bush did it, but yeah.
Saquon did it most recently and most frequently. So that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is what happened in like the replacements where the guy got his knee blown off and could never play again. So there is definitely an art to trying it, having the gumption to try it and then not stick the landing.
I think Monty Ball messed it up against Oregon in the Rose Bowl, the 2011 season.
Yeah.
I think he had a failed hurdle and I love it.
Failed hurdle.
Failed hurdle.
It's an interesting selection, Dan.
Thank you very much. I'm just going with what I like.
It's interesting. I think that's the right play. Go with things you like.
We have some more specific things for players and coaches, though, as well.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Speaking of things we like, my pick. I'm going to go with shoehorned references to Ted Lasso, Dan.
Okay. Okay. Explain.
You have not watched Ted Lasso, have you?
I haven't, no.
Well, something happens when any sports-related programming, sports-related fictional entity goes mainstream in the world. And that naturally means that broadcasters, that naturally means that ESPN, Fox, anybody calling a game with time to fill has to figure out some way to use that cultural thing, maybe to relate to the audience, you know?
Right.
Ted Lasso's about soccer. Mm-hmm. Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, is a soccer coach. But he comes over to coach soccer after coaching college football, I believe at Wichita State.
Yep.
Somewhere in Kansas. Right. So there's a college football tie-in. The show has obviously blown up and got a ton of Emmy nominations and I'm sure some wins here and there. It seems like it's gotten to the point now where most people are at least aware of Ted Lasso as a thing, whereas a year ago, I don't know if it was quite as prominent as it's become now that we're in season two.
Do you love the show?
It's a great show.
Oh, okay.
It's a feel-good show, but there's just a lot of goofiness in the show that I feel like is almost too easy to resist.
Are you worried that it could happen early, but because it's on Apple, right?
Apple TV. Apple.
It's a competitor of Disney Plus.
Right.
Competitor of Fox. I don't know if people want to be promoting it. I don't know if they're going to get orders from up high. I mean, this is a Disney sport now.
I know.
So,
and I thought about that, but I'll tell you.
Are there like a hook line? Is there like something from Ted Lasso in the way that you know, if you quote something from Anchorman or Dumb and Dumber, any sort of like these canon comedic movies or whatever, even if they have nothing to do with football, like if somebody says that's going to leave a mark, you know, it's oh, okay, that's like Tommy Boy or something.
Right.
Is there that line from Ted Lasso or a selection of lines that are immediately already in like TV canon?
They used a line a lot in season one that it's the hope that kills you. And
okay.
As we've talked about time and again here on the show, college football is a sport that barters in hope. That's really all it comes down to. So I could envision something like that being used. And he just had so many goofy comparisons, so many strange analogies that there is a Ted Lasso tie-in here. What I see happening is Apple coming in with a huge ad buy.
Okay.
Maybe setting up one of those weird, like, extended commercials featuring Ted Lasso as a college football coach. Like, they're going to find some way to force him into the college football consciousness here.
Vernacular.
Yeah, as we get into 21 here.
Okay.
And I don't know how, and part of that frightens me because it's a good show, and I don't want to see them do something dumb. I know they're going to.
Is it a crazy well-watched show?
It's
like, does everybody understand Ted Lasso references?
It's gotten to the point where I believe it is Apple's biggest hit. The morning show is very popular, but Ted Lasso has sort of been an unexpected breakout hit.
Okay.
And they're in season two. They're going to at least do a season three. And it's a cheerful, it's an upbeat, it's a fun show. If people haven't watched it, I'm certain most people will like it. I got my wife into it and she's not into sports content. So, will be forced Ted Lasso references this year.
I mean, you are also certain of like a ton of Fortnite references that I don't know if that happened.
It happened occasionally, but I am always a sucker for the pop culture thing that announcers want to use as a common denominator. And I think this could be it. I feel like this could be it.
Is it my turn?
I believe it's my turn again.
Oh, this is pick number two. You're right.
I can tell from the tone of your voice, you're not a fan of any of my picks so far.
I just haven't watched Ted Lasso.
All right. Well, no one's perfect. It's okay. It's fine. My next pick. I'm going to go with wisecracks about sixth-year players, Dan.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good pick. This one I think you're going to make some money on.
I expect a lot of Van Wilder jokes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of commentary about, you know, this guy would normally be working at Corporation A, Enterprise B.
Call him a doctor, call him a lawyer. Yeah. It's almost done with medical school.
But due to odd restrictions and due to expanded eligibility rules from the NCAA, perhaps in year zero, I don't know, whatever you want to phrase it as.
Yeah.
He gets to come back for his sixth year. In some cases, he might have guys coming back for a seventh year, Dan. Who knows?
That's true.
Feels like the Eric King's been around since the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But alas, we've got a number of sixth-year players.
Yeah, I think Oregon might be starting a sixth-year senior at left tackle.
Boosting that returning production in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the reason why we have so many teams with so much back going into the 21 season. And I feel like it's almost too easy to resist, or too hard to resist, too easy to make jokes about the sixth-year guys.
Well, you also have announcers joking about themselves. I was a sixth-year senior, but it wasn't because of eligibility being stretched. I just struggled with math. You'll get those. You will.
Give me wisecracks for six-year guys.
All right.
You're up. So technically these are your last two picks, but we can keep going because we have a huge list here. Let's just keep going.
I just think we can talk about the list in general, just things that make us laugh.
You're up.
Deuce Vaughn is short. Deuce Vaughn is short.
This is a Tom Hammond special, isn't it?
No, it's literally every announcer is going to say that Deuce Vaughn is 5'5", because he is Kansas State's most obvious weapon. Now, if he gets hurt week three, or gets suspended for accepting a sponsorship from a shady pill company or something. Deuce Vaughn being short, you know, the Mighty Mouse or whatever, is absolutely just going to be an immediate talking point for every broadcaster that broadcasts Kansas State games. This is my chunk of change pick right now. Deuce Vaughn is short because he is. That's just the reality of the situation. And he's an incredible football player. And it's going to be mentioned every week. Deuce Vaughn is short.
Some allusion to
Deuce Vaughn's height.
All right.
Doesn't that feel like it's going to do well?
It's very much got a Brock Osweiler, a 6'7" feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much an announcer thing. If a guy is too tall or too short, that it's notable to bring that up. Was the team? Was it ASU that's got two guys that are 6'7" on the offense?
Really?
It was one team that we talked about.
Brock Osweiler. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one team that we talked about recently where it was like, okay, we're going to hear about this again, aren't we?
Yeah, Minnesota's like their right tackle is from Australia. Daniel, and he was like 400 pounds when he came in. That's a thing. People enjoy measurables.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take another measurable pick, but my second pick is in. Athletes explaining in video how to pronounce their last names. And then, optional, the announcer opting to just shorten them to a preferred nickname, a la, I think we're going to get a lot of guys calling ACC games that call DJ Uyunglele DJU.
DJU.
Big Cinco. They're just going to call him DJU.
Big Cinco.
I think that'll be less common. But in the way that we had to have Tua explain how to pronounce his name, in the way that I think it was Star Lotulele for Utah all those years ago, I think, and we're most certainly going to have DJU, Uyunglele, explain how to pronounce his last name in a video as if it's his responsibility over and over when the media guides are readily available online and you can watch clips. But for, I guess, the common fan watching the game, curious to know how to pronounce a player's name when it appears in the lower chyron, I guess the player has to explain it themselves. So I'm taking that. Because I think, especially with one of the sports headline players in DJU being around,
right.
I think that's going to be a thing. Absolutely.
I like it. It's okay.
I think the announcers are going to really try. Yeah. And I remember speaking to our friend Yogi Roth, who during the offseason, he studies rosters and calls SIDs. He does like all of the research and homework. And I remember, I think it was now a former USC linebacker. He corrected me and it was like, oh, it's Nateote, something like that. So that is a thing, I think. It's a thing I enjoy.
Final pick. I'm going to go with stealth references to the point spread, Dan.
Good pick. Very good pick.
This is a thing that Musburger used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Musburger always used to refer to our friends in the desert. And I think Fowler has started doing it a little bit as well. Our friends in the desert. I actually could have specifically called out our friends in the desert, but I'm just going to go stealth references to the point spread. This can take on many different forms, as you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be a straight up. It doesn't even have to be stealth. It can be a straight up reference that, yeah, you know, they were favored by 7 points here. It could be there are a particular group of people who are very interested in what happens on this possession,
mm-hmm.
as it relates to the over-under or the point spread as a whole. So many different ways that you can just sort of hint at the fact that there is a large quantity of money dependent on what happens next. And I feel like it happens more than people realize.
Sure.
Every broadcaster is aware of what the point spread is. They're mm-hmm. always aware of what it is. They have to be. It's important contextual information. How they choose to use that information is always interesting to me. Before, of course, back in the day of Musburger, when he was still around the game, it wasn't quite as mainstream as it's become, because now in most places, if you want to place a bet, you can place a bet. Even ESPN now, right, they're talking about point spreads openly.
They have a wagering show, I believe, on maybe ESPN Plus or something, yeah.
And the Bears always on talking about it. Like, they're always talking about the point spread, and I think it's important context, I really do. But as it relates to the actual broadcast, it's still a thing that announcers feel the need to just casually mention, subtly mention, ensuring that, you know, if you know, you know. So stealth references to the point spread is my sixth and final pick.
You'll hear broadcasters, by the way, say something like, that field goal doesn't seem like it would make a difference, but to some it does.
Exactly.
There are some of those references at the end of the games that whether or not somebody's hitting an over, whether or not somebody is backdoor covering, there is that element for sure.
I'm going to make a proposal that we each get one more pick.
Okay.
I had a number of items that I pulled over from 2020, and I haven't selected any of them yet. We did start an idea bank. At least I did.
I have one that's not on here that I'm going to use my final pick on.
All right. So let me go first. I want to use this one because I jotted this down last year and I was really excited about it. I would like to select a play that is, quote, drawn up in the dirt.
It's a backyard play right there.
Just a backyard play. Just drawn up in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Play breaks down. It's a close cousin of having a little bit of Baker Mayfield in you.
Sure.
Busted play. Goes for something. You'll often hear play drawn up in the dirt. That was going to be either my first or second round selection last year. I was all in on play drawn up in the dirt. And then we didn't do the show. So
yeah,
I need to pay homage to 2020, to year zero, what have you. By going with play drawn up in the dirt. So that is my seventh selection, Dan.
This is my seventh now?
Yeah.
My seventh selection is the SEC Network really focuses on the SEC portion of college football when discussing an issue. No, not that at all. I am going to go with...
Hold on.
I'm going to go with Gus Johnson latches on to a fact or nickname throughout a broadcast. So in the way that he always calls, hey, how you doing? This is my partner, Joel Klatt. And then he goes, the all-American girl, Jenny Taft. He also will latch on during a fun fact about a player. So like, it's the old javelin thrower from Toledo with the catch.
Yeah, this is a Musburger thing too.
It's a Musburger thing, absolutely. Yeah. But it's different from a fun fact that only interests Tom Hammond, because that sort of comes and goes, right? That it's a GPA or his mom was the librarian of the year or something. It's in the ether kind of immediately.
Yeah.
Gus Johnson is a bulldog with his background information, where it's another tackle from the Terminator, as they used to call him in Honolulu.
Yeah, that's so much a Musburger thing, too. A heavy Musburger influence, even on this show.
The latch.
Years later, you'll remember, I mean,
you're talking about the spread creeping in. That's Musburger.
That's another Musburger thing.
Yeah.
But Musburger used to do, I remember Darren Sproles was the little tank. Remember Little Tank for K-State?
Of course.
And he would talk about the little tank this, little tank that. Major Applewhite was just the major.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of a fetch thing, right? They're always like Gus Johnson will make fetch happen over the course of a Texas Tech TCU game or something. Yeah.
It's a little bit low-hanging fruit because he does it every week.
Of course he does.
That being said, it's fun when you hear it.
Yeah, Gus flipping through his research and thinking to himself, ha-ha,
ha-ha,
ha-ha, I'm going to use this.
All right, so here's what we got. Let me jot this down, Gus Johnson.
Yep.
Okay, my team is weird COVID training.
Mm-hmm.
Great to have the fans back.
Mm-hmm.
Year zero. Shoehorn Ted Lasso references. Wisecracks about sixth-year players. Stealth references to the point spread and plays drawn up in the dirt.
Yeah.
You have NIL weirdness. Coaches caught on camera doing something in the booth.
Boogers. Yeah.
Strange animated explainers.
Mm-hmm.
Failed hurdles.
Yeah, of course.
Deuce Vaughn being just generally short.
We all know.
Athletes in a video teaching others how to pronounce their own names.
Yep, obviously.
Which is so
and
demeaning.
And Gus Johnson latching on.
It's so demeaning. I went out, I found a Tua video where they went around. Uh-huh. I think it was AL.com went around and they did, hey, how do you think you say this guy's name? They gave him a cell phone and nobody, of course, nobody got it. We didn't get it.
No.
And we're involved.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, Tagovailoa, Tagovailoa.
There are much easier names that we've messed up, to be clear. We called Johnny Football Johnny Manziel for a solid 8 months.
I said Globe Tomatoes once.
Yeah, you did. You did.
And finally, Gus Johnson latching onto a Factor nickname.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Loves it.
We have a huge list here of others that we did not get to. Let me read through some of the ones that I jotted down. I actually made a top 20 for myself.
Yeah.
That I was into. Some of the ones that I did not get that
this
I
is your own draft board.
My own draft board. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had vaccine controversies ranked pretty highly on here.
It's a great pick.
It's a good pick. I kind of didn't want to get into that here.
If you were to pick that and you wanted to have a quote with it, it would be, it's sort of a personal situation. And that would have done really well for you. It's sort of a personal decision. I'm still doing research. That would have been for you.
Yeah. I want everyone to know that that was high on my draft board and I am listening for it.
A character concerns with that pick?
Yeah. I didn't really want to go there with it.
Okay.
So I just want everyone to know that was high and I am listening for that type of content, but
sure.
Alas, vaccine controversies. I jotted down the yips. I couldn't remember if we ever drafted the yips before in a Fantasy Things.
It's just nothing I enjoy celebrating.
I don't enjoy celebrating it, but the yips are having a little bit of a renaissance now because of what happened with the Olympics with Simone Biles.
Sure. Yeah. The twisties?
The twisties.
Is that the term in gymnastics? Yeah.
Which, in fairness to her, the twisties are like, if you have the twisties, you can be paralyzed.
It's crazy serious.
Let's be real. So it's a form of the yips. And I feel like the yips are having a bit of a comeback because of that. I don't celebrate them, but it is funny when somebody says it. So I had the yips.
It's a funny term, the yips. Like, like a skittish dog. Yeah. Okay, next.
I have Jack Cohn puns, which may only apply to me.
According to you, he might be supplanted mid-year.
Yeah, yeah. And this may only be me who does the Jack Cohn's puns. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do it. I had player losing an NIL endorsement, which
totally on the table.
I think is covered by your NIL weirdness, though.
Also might be covered by weird vaccine opinions.
Potentially so.
Yeah.
I have a quote unquote chess match between coaches.
Mm-hmm.
A player who blocks out the noise or silences the critics.
Sure.
I have Reggie Bush getting
adversity.
Reggie Bush getting salty about NIL, which has already happened. I don't know if that will continue.
Did he produce a documentary? I'm pretty sure he did. Not about NIL, but about looking back on what he went through and the punishment that is now considered to be not as serious in 2021.
Correct. Reggie Bush wants his Heisman back, and he wants, I think, his stats reinstated. Neither of those will happen, I don't think, but... I have the bear dunking on the rest of the game day crew in like a playful way, you know, because you'll have oftentimes this guy in the bear who obviously knows his numbers and knows the facts and the stats and everything better than anybody. And then you have David Pollack with an extremely just emotional take that doesn't really, it's not rooted in anything. And then the bear he's put in this situation where he has to playfully disagree and just sort of dunks on everybody with his superior knowledge of the facts.
Is it too late to select David Pollack believes it all starts up front at the line of scrimmage?
It's too late.
Is it too late to select David Pollack believes it starts up front at the line of scrimmage? Damn.
That'll be on the big board for 22.
Like, do you think, and I like David Pollack.
So he's been on the show.
He's been on the show. I happen to think he's good at what he does.
Very good.
But do you think... if he comes down with some sort of mysterious ailment and the doctors say to themselves, we need to induce a coma to reduce swelling, he'll be okay and everything will return to normal, but we need to put him in a coma. And then it's week 8 of the college football season and he wakes up and he's rushed to the set of game day and doesn't know anything that's happened during the season, hasn't watched anything, and doesn't even know what game they're talking about. And Reese tosses it to David, and he insists that he can do the show. And he says, what do you think of Wisconsin-Michigan? Like, who wins this game? David Pollack is going to think for a second and say, you know, I'm thinking of going to Wisconsin. It all starts up front. The line of scrimmage. Going with the Badgers here. I wish I could have taken it, but I am too late.
I have a ref getting in the way of a play, ref interference.
I love those. Yeah.
I have a team that would have been in the top 12, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
I should have drafted a future playoff. I have a workout, a video montage of a workout of an incredibly athletic player. So like we saw the Evan Neal thing. We've talked about it, where he jumps. He does like the box jump and then sticks the landing with a split at the top, which is crazy. And then the last one on my list here is a broadcaster who thinks Talia could even be better than Tua.
Some say. Okay. Tagovailoa.
What else do you
What about, I love Brett Bielema knows the Big Ten.
Yeah.
As if the Big Ten is an entity that remains the same every year.
He's a Sherpa and only a select few know how to navigate that conference, right?
Like Brett Bielema knows Farsi. Like it's just something that exists that you are fluent in. He knows the lay of the land, just sort of the way that Mike Loxley knows the DMV.
Right.
I enjoy that one. Also, subheading to that is Brett Bielema has a Hawkeye tattoo.
Right.
Always enjoyable that he's coaching a non-Iowa team with an Iowa tattoo.
Correct.
That's always good. I'm so ashamed that of all of the information I've gathered throughout my life, all of the experiences I've now had with two small children, I still know that Brett Bielema has an Iowa tattoo. That information has not been pushed out these past few years. Not yet, anyway. I have an impromptu lateral.
Yeah.
Love that. Yep. Usually that'll happen on an interception.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a defensive player who's like, I know what to do. Throw the ball in midair and hope for the best.
Right.
Which is why they play safety. I have here... Oh, this is what it's all about.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what that means because it applies to so many different things. Sometimes it's just like a father and son sharing an ice cream in an Iowa State game or something. Sometimes it's a walk-on getting a scholarship. Sometimes it's everybody jumping around between the third and fourth quarter. That's a nice catch-all that happens often enough. This is what it's all about, Ty.
You know what we missed? Oh, how'd we miss this one?
What?
I died on the phone when you told me this one.
Which?
Someone's mom's athletic history.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, how did we miss that?
Like a JaVale McGee situation. Yeah, or Steph Curry's mom played volleyball. It happens a lot in basketball. But that's great. That's great. Actually, the real star of the family.
Yeah. Man, how did we miss that one?
Yeah,
that's good. What else do we got here?
Home team loses a color out game.
Yep.
I also like the... Because sometimes there'll be blackout games, but I think Michigan's doing a maze out for the Washington game. A maze out. What else do you have here?
We missed the broadcasters with hot takes on Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC.
Oh, yeah. And it'll happen during a MAC game.
It'll happen during a MAC game. Completely irrelevant. I don't know if I like the way that college football's headed. You know, this could be the end of the sport as we know it.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of writers. I saw that happening with the BYU scholarship situation.
Speaking of writers, how about the sports writers who tweet out the picture from the booth with the phrase, today's office?
Today's office. Today's office. Come on, guys. Today's office. Right here. Fort Collins. Yeah. You have gale force winds.
Love gale force winds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the only weather element we haven't incorporated.
I've got roommate revelation as a throwback to the Colt McCoy era of Texas football, Jordan Shipley. I've got the use of masks as a platform of both trash talking, motivation. I think that's combining a couple different ones.
I think
that's interesting.
Okay.
Because some stadiums are going to require people to be masked up. Quote, is this the year a group of five team makes the playoff? No. But that question is going to be asked because it is every year. Is this the year? Is this the year?
Look, Cincinnati is a top five or top 10 team.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason.
Do you see a path?
Is this the year? They're going to ask. Let's go to Joey Galloway and get his thoughts on this. And he says no. He'll beat around the bush a little bit. But Joey Galloway tells it straight. He'll be like, no, it's just not going to happen.
No, probably not. You've got a random Arch Manning reference on here.
Yeah. I it's probably something that we'll need to retool next year.
The problem is he doesn't have an older brother currently playing.
Right.
Let's see.
How about coaches whose,
video here?
Coaches whose wives are friends.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Some sort of off-field friendship, family friendship, or, you know, Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney have vacationed together or run into each other on vacation.
We got an email from a guy, Brian, who listens. This is over a year ago, and I jotted it down because I really, really like that.
It's very specific.
Very specific, but it's a thing. I was real close to pulling the trigger on Gus Malzahn looking forward to a fresh start.
Gotta love a fresh start.
Specifically a fresh start at UCF.
I have a zero-yard touchdown. I love zero-yard touchdowns. So strip sack, somebody falls on the ball in the end zone, touchdown. Or a blocked punt in the end zone gets recovered. Or a fumbled lateral in the end zone gets recovered by the other team. I love a good zero-yard touchdown. I love limited effort to score 6 points.
We're going to hear a lot this year about stadiums being at some percent capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's 100%. Maybe it's only 75%. We're going to hear a lot about that. An emergency quarterback reference.
Mm-hmm.
Or
love
a guy
emergency
who played,
quarterbacks.
A guy who played quarterback in high school.
Well, we just had it kind of with South Carolina with Zeb Nolan, the GA.
We talked about it. This is a close cousin of the surprisingly left-handed backup quarterback or wide receiver, which we've drafted in the past.
The surprise left-handed. Yeah, I love that. I have shirt-friendly acronym as something I'm looking forward to. Last year, we had LEO with Indiana. Love everyone. We had I think Clemson has had a couple, right? They had like the BYOG, bring your own guts.
Yeah.
If you remember that. We had the Roy bus, the rest Roy of bus. Y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I shirt friendly acronym. Somebody it's going to pop up somewhere. Now, obviously, Texas has gone all gas, no brakes. I don't know if they're going to go A, G, N, B with their shirts.
Right.
I haven't seen that yet. But if really it's going to be Clemson, it's probably going to be Dabo just sitting at home thinking, all right, what's this year's acronym? I look forward to it is what I do. I've got happy poncho fans.
Oh, yeah. It's pouring rain. It is a monsoon
Absolutely.
Game.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just happy to be there.
They're excited.
They
they're
got
wet.
The poncho for free.
Mm-hmm.
It was handed out at the gate by a local sub shop, something like that. It's basically a piece of cellophane. And you also run into the situation where people can't put them on right.
I'm so upset that I did not list and select David Pollack explains where it all starts.
I'm gonna jot it down here. I'm gonna play.
That's just a fun wild card that it's on everybody's board. That's the center of the bingo card. David Pollack explains where it all starts.
I could go with that. We could also go with controversial vaccination opinions as the center spot.
Yeah, I mean that's a freebie.
But we're staying out of that business.
Yeah.
All right. Look. This was not the format that we would have preferred to do this show.
No.
We wanted to do this show. I think the plan was to do this one in LA, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were going to do a show in LA. We were going to do it out west.
We're going to do the show in LA. It didn't come together. For those who have asked us about live shows, it is something that we are working on. However, we are taking it day by day here because obviously, you know, situations are changing as it relates to COVID. Hopefully it won't be as big a deal as we move a little bit deeper into the college football season, but stay tuned for more information on that. If you are interested in coming out and seeing a show, we're going to try and get out there and do some live stuff because it is so much fun, but we will just have to wait and see.
Can I give you another fantasy thing I just thought of?
Where were these like 3 hours ago?
I don't know. Well, this is so specific. It's not an actually good fantasy thing because it happens so infrequently. But when a player is called for targeting and going through all of the emotions on the sideline, pacing, and coaches are saying, it's cool, man. It's cool. It's cool. We'll get him next time. And he's so upset that he's getting kicked out of the game. But then the targeting call is reversed and you have so much emotion with the flip. I love that. I love the down and then back. I like that. Especially when nobody gets injured. But no, I like the reverse targeting.
Reverse targeting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we have our picks. We will get them posted somewhere before long. a week from now, we will have games to talk about. It is August the 23rd, as many folks are listening to this. Week zero preview is what is up next. And yeah, a week from today, we'll be doing reactions to the five games. Man. We'll be getting prepared for the week one preview as we really dive into this thing over Labor Day weekend. So
hell yes.
Fantasy things now in the books. I think that is kind of our annual rite of passage to move forward with the 21 season.
True.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, we'll talk to you all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.